Hello and welcome to your one-stop shop for everything haunted and spooky, The Haunted Estate. Make sure to call our toll-free phone number, 1-877-260-3428, to tell us your scary story. And don't forget to buy my book, The Home Reader, A Paranormal Journey. You can find it at thehauntedestate.com. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Haunted Estate. Here today is dark, it is dreary, it is rainy, and that is everything that I adore. You know that, don't you? I hope that you are having a wonderful week. We are coming to the end of it. Does that make you excited? TGIF tomorrow, right? So yes, please, as I mentioned in the intro, please jump over to thehauntedestate.com and buy my book. Buy it. If you're from America, it's under $10. Come on, support the show. All the money from the proceeds of these books does go to the show, along with a donation to the Mental Health Society thing in Woodstock. As I mentioned a lot of episodes, we do have a lot of teen suicides going on in my town, so we're trying to get as much funds as we can into that revenue to obviously stop that from happening. So I am also doing a casting call for your stories. Make sure to call my toll-free phone number, 1-877-260-3428. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your mom's stories. I want to hear your friend Beth's stories. I want to hear some local folklore. I want to hear something you wrote in school. What about a scary thing you just heard? What about a rumor? I don't care. I want to hear it. You can also use that phone number to call in and ask a question. Anything that you want, that line is there and for you. If you don't want to talk and that freaks you out, feel free to send me an email at selena@thehauntedestate.com. Today, like every other day, we have caller ghost stories, written in ghost stories, and everything creepy in between. Tonight on The Haunted Estate. I also want to mention to you guys, I seem to always forget this, if you go to thehauntedestate.com, and if you're an Amazon shopper, please, I have a banner there. If you click on that and shop through that portal, I get a kickback of whatever you do buy. So that's always a fun and fancy way to support the show. If you want to support the show in another way, you can buy the book, you can just donate. If you want to straight up donate, I have a donate button on the page. As I say every podcast, guess who pays for this? All by herself. That's me. But you know what? I love you guys. This paranormal thing is something that I really love. I also want to do a huge shout out to the huge amount of people on Snapchat I have now from the Haunted Estate. And you know what? I kind of thought my demographic would be more men, just simply because in my life, I've run into more paranormally inclined men that are really obsessed with it. Women seem to be, you know, not as many. But there's probably like one guy to every 5-6 girls. So shout out to my ladies and my dudes, of course. So today, let's jump into a written in ghost story to start. So the first stories that we have today is from Jenna. She is actually a friend of mine in town, so let's jump right into it. When my son was little, around 3 years old, he is now 9, I did daycare in my home for the first 7 years of his life. The basement in the house was often the place for the children to play when I had other things to do, like laundry. One day in the afternoon, I had smaller children napping and the older ones downstairs. I ran upstairs to grab something and heard the most terrifying scream coming from my son. I quickly made my way down the stairs, thinking he had hurt himself. He was looking up at the ceiling. When I asked him what was wrong, he was crying and telling me that there was a boy up there with red eyes. I consoled him as any mother would, promising he was okay. All the children looked scared, but only because of my son's screaming. When I asked them, not one of them said they had seen anything. I took the children upstairs and distracted them from what had just happened, not sure what to make of it myself. Well, that's the first story. Children see things that we don't, and different children see different things. It all has to do with how young they are, first. Second is their ability. Some people are just born with really strong abilities. I like to stand by the fact that every family has a bit of an indigo child. There's going to be one person who's going to be much more perceptive than other, especially when you look at genetics when it comes down. Sons are a lot like their mothers. Daughters are a lot like their fathers. If you consider yourself, you know, someone who's a little bit more sensitive to the other side, that's something that your son could definitely pick up on. Also, your son is always in the energy of your home. Those kids are in the energy of your home for a lot of time, but definitely not the amount of time that your son is. And if something were to reach out, red eyes or not, I'm sure it would feel more comfortable reaching out to your son than it would to any other children there. So let's go into the next one. Time passed. I never heard any more of the strange incident. That wasn't until around 6 months later. All the children were outside in the backyard. It's not fenced in, but I share bushes that separate us from our neighbors. I left the older children outside for a mere second to grab a glass of water. Once again, hearing the terrifying scream coming from my son, I ran out to see what was wrong. He was covering his eyes. When I peeled his hands from his face, thinking that he had gotten something in his eye, he screamed again, telling me that he didn't want to look because the boys with red eyes was in the bushes. We live in a neighborhood where there are lots of bunnies and cats. I immediately went to go look if there was anything there. I found nothing. I'm not sure what it was or why he keeps seeing it. It never happened again. What I do know is he experienced this, and it terrified him.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Here's the next one. Recalling this event makes me think of a time when he was around the age 5 or 6. He was laying in bed after reading our stories and saying goodnight to each other. He looked at me right in the eye in a serious tone and said, "Mom, I don't feel like myself." I asked, "What do you mean?" He said, "I don't know, I just don't feel like me." This statement would seem off-putting, but I simply replied, "I know what he feels like. It happens to me sometimes." Now, that's really crazy about this, is that when I was younger than he was then, I vividly remember laying in my parents' bed after being restless and not going to sleep in my own room. My dad laid next to me to help me sleep. I was so scared to sleep alone, for no reason at this point in my life, as I was yet to have any paranormal experiences that I can recall that age. I said the exact same words to my dad, who only replied I was tired and needed to go to sleep. I never told my son that. I'm not sure it means as any time I even engage in self-exploration as to what it might be, I become overwhelmingly terrified. It's really interesting that you said that, because I know that feeling that you're talking about. What I've kind of chalked that up to in my life is people who are empaths and have really strong empathic abilities, you know that you take on the energy of people around you. You probably have a hard time in Walmart or going to parties, or you're probably, you know, dealing with a lot of anxious feelings, just in general. If you're around like a big environment, it makes you really tired, it gives you headaches, that kind of thing. When there's a spirit around, something that's left a lot of energy, be it a family member or anything, you can really take on that energy. And if you're just laying in bed and you're having that calm moment, your own energy kind of waves are really calm. They're really silent. So that energy that's coming in is a bit stronger than your own. So it can almost feel as if you're turning into somebody else. If you ever see those scary movies where, you know, the spirit jumps from person to person, that's just energy jumping into that person. So when you don't feel like yourself, or when your son doesn't feel like yourself, if you feel comfortable talking to him, a lot of the time, you can practice this. You can kind of tell him to do this activity where he builds a big wall up in his head, like a castle, like a moat in a castle, and just imagining that, something strong enough to keep out those energies that aren't your own. They're not always bad energies, they're definitely not, but they are energies, and they do leave a lasting impression for sure. So a huge thank you out to Jenna for your stories. Those were really interesting and brought some really cool questions to light for today's episode. Appreciate it. Next up, we have a phone call. Take it away.
Hi, Selena. I discovered you through the History Goes Bump, and I love those ladies, and I love your stuff too. This is awesome. But nevertheless, let me get to my story. So it's not really scary. It's more paranormal kind of thing, but kind of freaked my family out. A long time ago, when I was a kid, I would say probably about 3 or 4, I used to have a make-believe friend, and I use make-believe in quotes, and we would have tea, and we would play, and all these things. Now, granted, this is stuff that I don't really remember. This was passed down from my sisters, because my sisters are way older than I am, and when they were walking by in the hallway, and they walked by my bedroom, and I was sitting there, and I was playing tea with my imaginary friend, and they asked me who I was playing with, and I was like, this is my friend Andy. And I remember my sister had this weird look on her face. Now, this is all happening in Chicago, and we don't really play outside when it's cold. You should know, you're in Canada. So one day when I was playing with my friend, and then all of a sudden, my sister called out to me, and she said, "Why don't you come down here? I want to show you something." So I went downstairs, and she was flipping through a photo album. And she had a page open, and she said, "You know, do you know anybody that's in this picture?" And it was a family picture, and it looked like a birthday party. This is way before I was born, probably maybe 2 years I was born, or before I was born. And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And I pointed to a boy who was in the picture, and I said, that's my friend Andy. And I remember my sister, like, holding on to me, and she said, "What did you say?" And I repeated myself, and I said, "Yeah, he comes, and we play, and he shows me, you know, the things I can do and all this stuff." And because apparently, like, he was teaching me letters and numbers and stuff. And then much later in life, my sister reiterated this story. And then she told me, she was like, "So do you remember Andy, your make-believe friend?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, I remember all, you know, you telling me that, showing me the picture and all of that stuff." And she was like, "Well, I want you to know, and I don't want you to freak out, but Andy was a real person before you were born." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" Now, granted, when she was telling me, reiterating the story to me, I was probably, I don't know, like 12 or 13. So kind of understand, you know, ghosts and haunts and things like that, but not too much of a degree as I do now. And I was like, "Okay, so what happened to Andy?" And she was telling me about how he passed away before I was born, and he knew that I was coming, and he was really excited about me being born. And unfortunately, he died of leukemia a few months before that. So to this day, everybody says that Andy is, or was, or maybe he still is, my guardian angel. So that's my story. And I hope you enjoyed it. And it's hopefully I'll hear this later on. And I hope you have a good one.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for sending in your call. That really was kind of a beautiful story. I really love getting the beautiful side of paranormal occurrences, being able to hear the stories that kind of reassure people that when your loved ones pass on, that parts of them stay behind. That, you know, he was really excited about having you around as a family member, so he kind of stuck by, and I wouldn't even start to second guess that he's your guardian angel. It's pretty obvious that he took a good interest in you, and he never wanted you to be lonely and be your friend. And again, yeah, thank you. I'm sitting here and I feel teary-eyed, honestly, because those are those beautiful kind of moments, especially when a child passes away of something like that. You want to know that they're peaceful. You want to know that they're okay. And to see them come through and kind of still act and live like a child, it's kind of a gift. So I really hope, you know, that his parents and looked at that as a really beautiful experience. So I hope to hear more from you. And thank you so much for coming over from the History Goes Bump podcast. Those women are fantastic. History Goes Bump is another amazing, amazing paranormal podcast. You can find it on iTunes, their website. I have an episode where I talk about them. They are just, they're great. Definitely way better technically inclined than me. Much more on the ball with what they do. I'm hoping, you know, they're my little look up too. So I'm looking up to them. They're kind of my diagram for where I would like to be one day. They were also very welcoming. That's one thing I found in the paranormal industry is I kind of reach out to people and I'm like, hey, and you know what? They reached out to me first. And that was really beautiful because I've been intimidated to do that simply because it hasn't gone that well a lot of the times. I've talked about it before, but anyways, I love them, and thank you for stopping by. I got quite a few people who have come over, and that just means the world. I just had the podcast pause for a second because my Facebook went off because I had a message, and it was actually, it was Diane from The History Goes Bump, and they're just so kind. I just feel like there's not enough kind people in the world, and when you meet someone who's genuinely kind, it just, you know, you really got to keep that, a nice, respectful relationship with them, and I hope, you know, there's a spooky paranormal too that's a friendship that will go on into the future. Something that I would like to talk about right now is a website called ghostwalks.com. They are located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. They do some paranormal tours. I've actually been to one of theirs. It's called the Custom House. I went to the Custom House in Hamilton. It was really great. You sat, you did the history of the place. They took you on a tour throughout the building. Then you had about an hour and a half or 2 hours, I'm not quite sure, to kind of conduct your own investigation and walk around. And then at the end of the evening, everyone was brought into like a big a room. And there we actually did a real seance with an Ouija board. You were able to take pictures. I actually had a very awakening experience when I was there. So I'm going to a place called the Dundurn Castle eventually, one day. It is a castle which is actually more of like a huge White House-y looking mansion. It's located in Hamilton, Ontario. So what I'm going to do is I would like you to head over to thehauntedestate.com. There I'm going to have a banner for Ghost Walks. You can click on that and go check out their amazing website and book your tour coming up. So I'm going to read to you right now about Dundurn Castle. Dundurn Castle remains as a perfect example of what can be saved from decay of a time when a city puts their best into it. The national monument and rich of history in Canada, the home to one of British Canadians' first prime ministers, an authentic example of how the rich lived over 180 years ago. It remains one of Hamilton's best historic sites. It took 3 years to construct the building we see today. Started for Sir Alan McNab in 1832, the entire project was completed in 1835. The land was sold to McNab from a pioneer of the Hamilton area, Richard Beasley. Beasley made a lot of money through the mills in Barton Township. Today, that is Hamilton's core. And Ancaster, partner to James Wilson. However, towards the end of his life, he fell on hard times, couldn't support his house on his own. Dundurn Castle is currently restored to its splendor of 1855, the time when Sir Alan McNab was at the height of his career as a lawyer, landowner, railway tycoon, and prime minister. McNab would be knighted for his role in stopping the rebellion of 1837. He was one of the leaders in British militia that marched against William Lyon Mackenzie at Montgomery's Tavern in Toronto. Not done with that, he then led another militia of rebels marching from London, Ontario. so strong that McNabb's reputation of the London rebels dispersed immediately after learning that McNabb and his men were waiting for them. At his death, there was a lot of confusion about where McNabb's religion beliefs ended. He was a devoted Anglican his entire life, but it was rumored that he had converted to Catholicism on his deathbed. So began the fight for Sir Alan McNabb's body. He would end up buried at a Holy Spruce Cemetery in Burlington. Because of St. Mary's Cathedral in Hamilton, produced a baptism note recorded the day before his death. To avoid confusion and possibly vandalism, McNabb was buried in an unmarked grave. A monument was then added later. But the true location of his body isn't confirmed. Today there is a modern gravestone at the historic Hamilton Cemetery, even though his body remains at Holy Sepulchre. On a side note, the Duchess of Cornwall and his wife to Prince Charles is a direct descendant of Sir Alan McNabb. Officially, she's the great-great-granddaughter of McNabb's daughter, Sophia. Up next, we have the ghosts. Now, this is what we were waiting for, isn't it? There are many ghostly possibilities at Dundurn Castle. 8 men hung for treason right across the street in 1813. Cholera victims transported to the plague sheds. Cholera victims transported to the plague sheds across the street, where they died a lonely death in new, strange lands. Sir Alan and his family seem to haunt the castle. Outside the room where his second wife Mary wasted away from consumption, it is said that there is always a cold chill and a mysterious breeze that blows out the candles. There are mysterious drafts, objects moving around, and on some occasions visitors and others have heard mysterious music and singing. Since the location has been continuously occupied since prehistoric times, there may be spirits of all sorts wandering the halls of Dundurn at night. Sir Alan's hobby. We love personal stories of historical figures here at Haunted Hamilton. One of the best comes from a local Hamilton historian about a hobby of Sir Alan McNabb. To get the full feel of his hobby, you must go see the lands around Dundurn Castle. My words aren't working, guys. And then put yourself back to the 1850s. Visualize the quiet and secluded nature, land reaching out in open farms with no houses, the subtle waves of Hamilton Harbor crashing on the shore behind you, and dead, quiet cemetery to your right. Now put yourself on the roof of the castle. Sir Alan McNabb would pass the evening hours at Dundurn with a hobby of playing his bagpipes inside the house for his family, of course, but also in the dead of night while standing on the roof of his castle. Ooh, I wonder if his ghost has been seen wandering the rooftops. I randomly had come across Dundurn Castle on a link that I saw on Facebook. It was one of those articles, and it's like 9 haunted places you can visit in Ontario. And I was like, hold up. And the fact that I didn't know about this is strange, very strange. I felt like I knew about everything else, but that I was like, wait up, hold on a second. What's going on here, foo? So that's one that I really want to check out. It's nice reading about the history. I tend to not want to read about the history, but it's such a prevalent area that I don't really need to go in blind because I'm going to, you know, people. It's an hour-long tour. It's 11:50. You get, like, a pass to go to another museum, and it kind of sounds like a splendid afternoon by chance. So I'm hoping to make it down there in the next month or two or something along that when I'm feeling slightly better. It's raining right now. I'm happy and I'm distracted. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in the rain. I'm not kidding. I hope you guys have a wonderful day and I will see you the day after tomorrow.